Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're pleased that you joined us, and especially if this is your first time to visit or if you've begun attending recently, we want to extend our hope that you will become a part of our family of faith here. One way to do that, of course, is to be involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. If you look at your bulletin insert, you'll find lots of ways to be involved in that. I'm going to lift up just a few of those. Our Lenten concert series continues this coming Thursday at noon with Simon Thomas Jacobs being our person offering the concert. There's lunch following the concert at 12:30. If you want to be here for lunch, please make a reservation. You can do that either by calling the church or by reserving that lunch online. It just helps us to make sure we have plenty for everyone. I would remind you to look at your bulletin insert. That includes the schedule for Holy Week. We will be having services on Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday. That's always a very meaningful Holy Week observance to me, and I think it probably would be for you. Of course, we have our Easter Sunday services. And for those of you who are regulars here, for those of you who are used to the area, we're going to invite you to park at the Caterpillar parking garage where we usually have overflow parking. You can find on one of your inserts very precise directions on how to find that entrance and how to park there. If you want to practice, you could even practice next week on Palm Sunday to be sure it works, and then park there on Easter, because there are many people who will be joining us who aren't used to being here, who may not know their way around, or who are not able to walk from the Caterpillar building here. So that will clear spaces for them in our parking lot. Also, our Bedrock Belief t-shirts are available once more. You can purchase yours in Reed Hall today. This year we have shirts in children's sizes. We've also added a tri-blend shirt, and for those of you who would like a shirt for working out, 100% polyester shirt. Those are in adult sizes. We are told by the bishop and district superintendent that next Sunday will be the day that you learn who your new senior pastor will be. Eric Gamble will make that announcement. We're supposed to learn that at the end of this week. Don't be calling us. I don't know who it is. Eric doesn't know who it is. We will announce it next Sunday. So if you're interested, show up at church next Sunday and you'll find out who that new senior pastor is. Also, an update on my retirement plans. Beginning this fall, I am honored to serve as writer and storyteller in residence at Martin Methodist College, our conference college, and I'll be working with them on developing narrative across the entire curriculum for the school, which is a very exciting prospect for me. Do you ever feel homesick? For some of you, it might have been when you were in college or traveling far away from home, but I bet you remember what it was like. On the other hand, have you ever gone someplace that you had never been before but felt right at home the first visit? We're going to talk about home, where home is, and what leads us out of that experience of homesickness into an experience of home. Stick around.
Thank you. dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise.
For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere.
O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you.
Let us worship God. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God,
we confess we have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have
failed to be in an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us join together in praying the Lenten prayer for illumination. Holy God, Word made flesh, let us hear this word, open your voice. Silence our agendas, confound our expectations, and clear your reading from the Psalter. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy in the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you and whose heart is in the highway to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in your house of my God than live in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Over the past, 15 or 20 years or so, one of my favorite things to do around Christmas time has been to volunteer for the 61st Avenue United Methodist Church Last Chance Toy Store. It's called the Last Chance because it really serves those who have not been served by any other program in the city. It comes very near to Christmas, and the Marines and the Toys for Tots and many, many other contributors come together to bring toys that are stored there at the church, and then volunteers interview people to make sure they haven't been served by any of the other programs, and then serve as personal shoppers to guide them through so that they can find things for their children or grandchildren who would otherwise not have any presents for Christmas. Now, we don't have to worry about that, do we, in our families? But in those families, having not been served by any other program in the city, they will have presents under the tree that would not be there because of the folks who pool their efforts to make this happen. Now, sadly enough, 61st Avenue United Methodist is going to be closing down, except for the Spanish-speaking ministry that takes place there, which will be continuing. So I don't know what's going to happen with the toy store. But one of the gifts I give myself, since my birthday falls around that time, is that I get to go and help out with that. And even though I've served in several capacities, my favorite job is working the door. Because when you interview people, you get to meet a few. When you are a personal shopper, you get to meet a few. But when you work the door, you get to meet everybody. The folks come early in the morning. They get a number, they are assigned a time to return, they come back, they line up in that number, and a part of what we as the doorkeepers do is that we make sure they're lined up at the right time, in the right order, and we let a certain number in at a time so they can do their shopping. And while they wait, we get to visit. I get to hear stories about their lives. The gratitude is palpable for people who otherwise would not be able to share the joy of Christmas with their children or grandchildren, but are going to be able to because of what's going to take place once they get inside those doors. Whenever I hear what you heard read just a minute ago, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness, I always have that image come to mind. Standing at the door, right at the edge, the verge of 61st Avenue United Methodist Church, welcoming God's people in. Now, we don't know exactly what that word doorkeeper means. It could mean something like a guardian, a gatekeeper. It could, on the other hand, simply mean those who stand between the outside and the inside, welcoming those inside who would otherwise be outside. I kind of like that. I like that image of the doorkeeper. The poet who put together this psalm intended for it to be sung, not read necessarily the way we did it, but to be sung by a group of pilgrims as they approached the temple, talking about how they longed to be in God's presence. That yearning that they were experiencing, just like the yearning you feel on a Sunday morning when you get up to be here, right? I bet some of you do. You're here, aren't you? There are two images that really are presiding through this entire poem. There are others, of course, but two are hugely significant, I think. The first is the image of a bird building a nest. Coming home to the temple, home to God's presence, is like a bird building a nest, a sparrow or a swallow, feeding its young there. I know right under the eaves of our front porch, every year birds build nests, and of course it's a nuisance to some extent, but the fascinating thing is we get to sit and watch as the chicks hatch, as the baby birds hatch, and then as they're being fed by their mother, and then as they fly away. To be in God's presence, to be surrounded by God's love, is coming home. It's that home we never knew we were yearning for. Because we don't like to admit how dependent we are. We are as dependent on God as those baby birds are dependent on their mother. But once we can admit that, that yearning for home, that yearning to be in God's presence and to receive whatever it is God would give us, draws us here. It's a homesickness for the love of God. Often, when I'm with a family who has a family member who is very sick, near death, or who has just died, a part of the prayer that I pray uses the words, "Oh God, we know that your love is our home in this world and the next. Your love is our home now and forever." I think that captures something of what the psalmist is trying to say. That God's love is our home. And while we know it here in our bodies, it doesn't end when we no longer are encumbered by these bodies. We just experience that love in a different, we believe, deeper, more intimate way. So our home is not a place, because God's love is in every place, is everywhere. We just come here to be reminded that that is our home. So when we go from this place, we can find it wherever we are, wherever we go. We see God's love manifested in other people, in other places, perhaps in almost every occasion of life. Now, the second image that I find really powerful in this poem is that of refreshment. The rain falling, the springs coming up out of the ground, the pathways to Zion that run straight through the heart. And when we come straight through the heart, we are refreshed by God's presence. If you've ever lived or even traveled through a desert region, whether in the Middle East or in this country or elsewhere, you know how important water is. Water is not just another commodity. It is the very source of life. You cannot live without it. It is our source of life. It is also our form of refreshment. So as we come into God's presence, we recognize this is what we need for life. We've been homesick for this kind of life. And we go away refreshed by having been in God's presence. I think this is the feeling that the psalmist is trying to describe in poetic imagery. That yearning we have for something that sometimes we can't even name. And yet when we find it, we know how hungry we've been for it. Hungry for home. Hungry for love. Admitting how dependent we are on God's love and presence. And thereby being refreshed. Thereby finding what it takes for us to actually have life. In a few minutes, Chris is going to invite you to this table. But you know, it's not Chris's table. And it's not my table. It's not the table of anybody up here. It's not West End United Methodist Church's table. It is Christ's table. He is the host. We just act on his behalf to be sure folks are invited. Those who are hungry, come and eat. Those who are thirsty, come and be refreshed. When I am presiding, I always go a little bit off script, you know? And that doesn't surprise anybody, does it? And in going off script, I improvise part of that invitation. Because I want to make sure everybody knows that they are indeed invited. And I will tell you, you don't have to be United Methodist. I will tell you, you don't have to be a baptized Christian. And some of my colleagues have questioned me about that. Thinking that somehow I don't hold Holy Communion as being quite as holy if you just invite anyone. But I know that throughout the history of the church, there have been traditions that specifically said that if you're not a member of our tradition, you are not welcome at the table. If you're not baptized the way we baptize, you're not welcome at the table. And there may be people sitting in this congregation at any given time who grew up in that tradition and may not be sure whether or not they are invited. I want to be sure that you know. The only requirement is, if you're hungry, come get food. If you are thirsty, come and partake of this juice, of this drink. You see, the reason I do that is that Jesus never made it a requirement for people to be baptized for them to eat with him. In the feeding of the 5,000, when his disciples come to him and say, "These people are hungry, you better send them away," he doesn't say, "You feed the ones who are baptized." No, he says, "You feed them. And everyone there is fed, and there is plenty left over." And around the table, that meal that we'll be remembering in a few minutes, those folks may have been baptized, but there is no point made of that as a requirement to sit at that table. Because remember, one of them had already betrayed him. One was going to deny knowing him, and the rest were going to desert him. If you are looking for a new or a renewed relationship with God and your neighbor, you are welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. If you are hungry, you are welcome to come and eat. If you are thirsty, you are welcome to come and drink. If you are homesick, you're home. And God is providing what we need. God is providing what we need for life. God is providing what we need for refreshment. And God is providing us a way of knowing that God's love is our home now and forever. And of seeing that love not just in this place, but because we have seen it in this place, being able to see it elsewhere as well. All who are hungry, come and eat. All who are thirsty, come and drink. Thanks be to God.
We welcome all who gather with us in worship today. We extend a special welcome to the guests among us. We hope you will join us for a time of fellowship and coffee following worship this morning in Reed Hall, which is just out the door to your right here. And there are Andrew ministers among us. You can identify them by their blue name tag, and they'll be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the rear of the sanctuary in the narthex. And they'll be glad to answer any questions you may have about West End. If you are a student, a graduate or an undergraduate student, you're invited to be part of the student community here at West End for lunch and faith discussion following this worship service, and they'll also meet out in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, there are some great cards, and on these cards, you're invited to write out any prayer requests you may have. Please indicate if this is a prayer request to be shared among the staff or to be held confidentially. And you can put this card in the offering plates as they come down each pew in a few moments. Also, if you haven't already done so, please take a moment to fill out the attendance pads that are near the center aisle on each pew. You can fill that out and then pass it down to those that are seated along your pew. This morning we celebrate the birth of Caroline Elizabeth Price, who was born February 9th to Whitney and Jeremy Price. She's welcomed also by her big brother Sawyer Price. Also, we celebrate the birth of Emma Margaret Hibishu, who was born March 20th in Manhattan, New York, to Julie and Daniel Hibishu. She is welcomed also by Nancy and Jim Culver, her grandparents, Emily Bigelow, her aunt, and Anna and Peter Bigelow, her cousins. And we also celebrate the birth of Rosemary Knox Leverance, who was born March 21st to Molly and David Leverance. She's also welcomed by her big sister, Eleanor Leverance. And we offer sympathy to the family of Jane Porter Bracey, who died March 25th in California at the age of 102. And we extend sympathy to Howell Jackson Lynch Jr.'s family. He passed away on March 26th in New Orleans, Louisiana. Among his survivors are his mother, Mary Ferris Lynch, and his brother, George Lynch. Services were held yesterday in New Orleans, and a graveside service will be held at Maplewood Cemetery in Pulaski, Tennessee on April 8th at 11 a.m. And finally, we offer sympathy to Doug, Aaron, Megan, and Megan Doss in the loss of Doug's father yesterday. There's no other arrangements at this time. And this morning, we also want to pray for our brothers and sisters at Glencliff United Methodist Church, who are being bullied and will be picketed this morning as they gather for worship over their support of those that are marginalized in our Nashville community. As they move forward with plans for a micro-home village there through Open Table at Glencliff United Methodist Church. Each of us has been given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let us give as God has so abundantly given to us.
Thank you.
be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so with your people on earth and all of the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink of it." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Come with a message for from the host of this meal, Jesus Christ our Lord. No matter where you come from, no matter where you are going, no matter who you love, no matter what doubts or questions or how firm you stand in your faith today, this table is a place of welcome. You're invited to come and experience, to share in God's grace and love. There are some more details in the bulletin insert, but you'll be invited here in a few moments to come and receive here at the chancel rail. If you'll just extend your hand open to receiving God's grace, one of the servers will give you a piece of bread and a cup of juice. And as you, then you're welcome to spend as much time here at the rail in prayer. And then if you'll return by the outside aisle. And if you're in need of gluten-free elements, Bobby, who's on the far side, he'll be stationed over there by the lectern. He'll be willing to share with you those gluten-free elements. And if you need to be served in the pews, Lisa and I will be coming around in a few moments. Just catch one of our eyes and we'll be glad to serve you right where you are. And this morning there are two offering plates here near the rail at the center aisle. And that's for our communion offering. And this month the communion offering goes to Green Street Church. They have a ministry there in their side yard called The Sanctuary, where it's up to 20 people who are hoping to have permanent housing, live in tents and in tiny homes there on the church's property. This has been a ministry that the youth have been involved in for the last year. The first Sunday of each month, the youth serve and share in a meal there with those that live in the sanctuary. And one of the things that they don't have right now is a bathhouse, and so the communion offering will go help to fund the bathhouse there at the sanctuary at Green Street Church. And so this has been an important part of our youth ministry, and so I hope you will be willing to give to those that are marginalized among our city. Bread of heaven that is broken for us, and the cup of salvation that is poured out for each one of us. The table is set. There's no need to make a reservation. You are welcome to come and feast. Amen. invite you to stand and join with me in the prayer after receiving. You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves for others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Standing here before you are members of our Guatemala mission team. Other members of that team served at the early service, and we're grateful for the service you all have provided at this service. And we would like to offer a prayer of blessing on them as they go doing God's work for God's people on behalf of West End United Methodist Church. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that you have placed the calling in our hearts to love and serve our neighbor. We thank you especially for these people who stand before us, willing to move out of their comfort zone to another part of the world to serve you by serving your people in that place. We pray that they might represent you and your love, they might be the loving light of Christ wherever they go, your healing and caring hand. We pray that they might be blessed in order to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. And now go forth in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.